School funding takes center stage in communities around Southeast. And smell that springtime stench? You can't blame it on the dogs. It's KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. This is a story out of Sitka, but it mirrors an issue that has come up before in Haines, and that is if the state should do more for schools when local government are not doing all they can. There is a minimum and a maximum that local governments must or can put towards schools in their district. Haines is like many communities in that it funds more than the minimum required, but it doesn't fund the maximum it's allowed to. It's an issue that comes up often this time of year as the state legislature tries to settle on school funding, while at the same time, local governments are working through their budgets. And it was an issue addressed recently at a joint work session between the Sitka School Board and Sitka Assembly. The board presented a draft budget to the Assembly with a modest increase in local support to schools, less than $200,000, but also delivered a clear message that more was needed. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
They're calling themselves the Education Legislature, but Juneau has not settled on a level of school support this year that most districts consider adequate. And there was a serious attempt to amend the Constitution to allow public education dollars to flow to private schools, including religious schools. This was the backdrop for two recent lobbying trips to Juneau by Sitka School Board members Lon Garrison and Jennifer Robinson. During the work session with the Assembly, Robinson said her efforts to advocate for more state funding for local schools were undermined by one issue. Sitka does not contribute the maximum funding allowed by law to its local schools. Robinson is also director of the Sitka Chamber of Commerce, as well as daughter of Sitka Mayor Mim McConnell. She told the Assembly she did not often get on a soapbox, but Sitka's failure to fully fund schools locally was beginning to take a toll on her.
There's two things that I considered when I moved here. It wasn't how beautiful it is. It wasn't that this has been my home. It was, number one, my family was here. And number two, Sitka has an amazing school system and a place that I know my kids are going to get a great education. And if either one of those hadn't been here, I would not have moved back to Sitka. Because as a single parent, it's not worth the struggle of trying to survive in a town where either I didn't have that family support, I wouldn't have made it, or where my kids aren't going to get a quality education. I have to pay so much to live here, and I work so hard to make it happen that without that education, it wouldn't have been worth it. I'd rather live somewhere else where I can afford to live and make sure my kids are well-educated and can be successful. And I am not the only one that feels this way. And if we don't make sure that we are funding our schools, we are going to be cutting the programs that give our kids the education they need. And we are going to lose more and more families. There has to be a way to make a living, and there has to be quality schools for families to stay here. I don't care how affordable the housing is or what kind of economic development we bring in. If we kill our school system now, we're not going to keep the families here long enough to get to that point.
The city of Sitka contributed a little over $5 million in funding to schools this year, about $1.6 million less than the cap, or the amount allowed by state law. The city contributes thousands more to the district in ways that don't count against the cap, through community schools, for example, and sports activities. But Robinson and Garrison said they repeatedly were questioned by legislators about Sitka's failure to fund education to the cap. Assembly members had no direct response to the board's appeal. Pete Esquiro was concerned that the district was reducing staff at Baranoff and Blatchley. He questioned the wisdom of cutting people while pursuing technology goals that would put a computer tablet in every child's hands in the near future. Board President Lon Garrison responded that the landscape of education was changing.
By the time the kindergartners this year graduate, my guess is that well over 50% of them will go on to get higher education, and it will all be distance delivered. The brick and mortar days are fast disappearing, and the world is changing quicker than you can imagine. Things that we did in 2007 and 2008 seem like decades ago. You know, when you figure the iPhone was introduced in 2007.
The work session was a more cordial exchange between the two elected bodies than it's been in the past. In fact, Assemblymember Mike Reif complimented the board on its conservative approach towards its use of reserves and its expectations for state funding. One notable difference with past meetings was that outgoing Superintendent Steve Bradshaw did not speak until he was invited to share his opinion by the Assembly. Over 13 years on the job, Bradshaw has occasionally used this forum to press the Assembly hard. His swan song, however, was conciliatory.
And I know you're faced with tough choices. I know the budget's tight, but I also know that we find ways to get the things done that we want in life. This community has always supported education, from Pacific High School to the auditorium to everything else we've asked for. So I would urge you in the future to continue to do that, because that, I believe, is our goal, is to try to make each generation a little bit better.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
It's springtime in Alaska. You could categorize that a lot of ways. More daylight, warmer temperatures, chirping birds. It's also when you find that shovel or bucket you haven't seen since the first snowfall. But the melting snow also reveals something less appealing. Many, many piles of dog poo. The topic has even reached the local government level. At a recent Haines meeting, Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel, who for purposes of this story could be referred to as Windsor's owner, said she'd been approached by residents complaining about the unsightly dog poo that appears with the melting snow. In Haines, dog owners can be fined under the littering ordinance for not picking up after their canines, and Schnabel encouraged the Haines police to enforce the littering ordinance in regards to poo. And this week, the Skagway Assembly will take up an ordinance that establishes a fine for not cleaning up after a dog. If it passes, offenders could be fined $50, and that's the stiffest fine of any of the offenses in the ordinance. But the poo is not actually connected to any foul smells that spring also brings along. That's according to Steve Vick, executive director of Haines Animal Rescue Kennel. Sticking up for the canines, as he often does, Vick said decomposing poo is more unsightly than smelly.
I don't think the smell in town that everyone is smelling is all dog poop. In fact, I'm not sure how much organic smell dog poop has after a full winter of exposure.
But Haines High School science teacher Mark Fontenot has an explanation for the smell. It's organic matter that quickly thaws. While dog poo is part of that organic thawing process, there's not enough of it to create the stench some residents complain of this time of year, he says.
What it is, I think, is that under the snow for an entire winter, what you have is a bunch of organic decay. You have all the, you know, especially if you notice it most if you walk past a big grassy area like a lawn, big lawn or a big field that's just now thawing out from under the snow. And what it is plant matter that's decomposed over the course of the whole winter, and all the anaerobic bacteria that are doing that decomposition job, they put out methane and sulfides and other kind of septic smelling gases, and that those gases are just now being revealed and released into the air because the snow's melting off the top of them.
Back to the dog poo. While the more than 1,800 dogs in Haines are breathing a sigh of relief for being off the hook for stinking up downtown, they still need to prod their owners to keep the town tidy looking, especially this spring after a cold but relatively light snowfall winter, says Vic.
On a winter when there's not a lot of snow, where it's cold out, where it kind of freezes in place and then it never washes away with the snow melt because there hasn't been a lot of snow, it becomes a little more unsightly.
In years past, Hark has held a doggy dew cleanup effort, but Vic said the disintegrating dew is often difficult to corral. And actually, Vic said, while it may be hard to believe, the cleanup effort didn't actually net as much material as they thought it would. The best way to deal with the problem, Vic says, is for owners to step up and scoop up the dog dew.
We strongly encourage people to pick up after their dogs because, one, it's just common courtesy. Plus, you have to, you know, you have pride in this town. We love Haines. We want Haines to look beautiful. When the spring hits us and the tourists start coming, and we don't need to have this lying around town.
And a quick note from CBC, Whitehorse, the power is back on after a near territory-wide power outage in Yukon early Tuesday. The territory's hydropower grid went out about 3 a.m. Tuesday morning, except in the villages of Keno and Mayo. Most communities regained electricity around 5 a.m. Power was restored at the Minto Mine just before 6 a.m. and back on in Pelly Crossing just before 7:30. Yukon Energy's communication manager Janet Patterson says the problem has been traced to a key component at its hydro-generating station in Whitehorse. She said the failure of a computer that is the main brain of the hydro unit caused damage to other essential components. The power company says it could be several days before the hydro unit is back online. In the meantime, there is enough power being generated from other units in Whitehorse and in other parts of Yukon. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Robert Woolsey for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS Local News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. We also bring you wider-reaching stories from around the region to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained, and we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.